with such an horrendous story. Mm. Now, I know yesterday you actually went to Pacific Hills Christian Grammar School, and you had what I consider to be the hardest task of all, to take this horrendous but joyful story. You had to talk to the whole school, which starts at kindergarten and goes right through to year 12. How on earth did you take that story and get that audience understanding it?
High degree of difficulty. Look, it was lots of fun. And what I wanted to talk about was the kids there have heard what Good Friday's about. It is about Jesus' death, and Easter Sunday's about Jesus' resurrection. So I didn't want to talk about the facts. I wanted to talk about why. What difference does that make? So what I did was we had some white shirts, white T-shirts. I got a teacher out, dressed him in a T-shirt. And what I said was, God's standard for entry into his heaven is perfectly clean, is to be completely spotless. And that's how he makes us in the start. But the problem is that any time that we put ourselves over God or we do any of those sorts of things that the Bible calls sin, we have messed up lives. So I had slime, I had Vegemite, I had fish paste. And I was having fun smearing this all over one of the teachers, and the kids thought that was a hoot. And then I said, look at me, I'm actually spotless, but for the purposes of this, I'm actually playing the role of Jesus. See, my shirt is completely white, it's completely stainless. That's Jesus' life. He's the only one who ever lived a life in perfect obedience to his heavenly Father, completely spotless. And here's the great thing, everybody. This is what Jesus does at Easter time. When he dies on the cross, he takes your life, my life, that's filthy, and he gives us his. And we swapped shirts. So I gave the teacher the completely clean, and me playing the role of Jesus, I put the filthy Vegemite covered.
He's still wearing it, I hasten to it.
No. That's what the smell is in here.
Yeah. Thanks.
I put that on to show them. And so hopefully it's a very concrete image that Jesus takes our filth on himself and gives us his clean life, so that in God's eyes now, if our trust is in Jesus, then we look spotless to him. We've got Jesus' spotless life covering us. And so entry into heaven and life with God that starts right now.
And the year 12 students, did you appeal to them as well with a degree of intellectualism, or did you leave it at the physicality side?
Well, there's only so much you can do in 10 minutes. But
you only had 10 minutes. Oh, well, that's all right then.
So we get lots of chances to talk to those guys as well. But it's interesting that even some of those guys, the later teenagers, they've heard stuff before, but the concrete image can sometimes grab all the stuff they've heard before and just solidify it for them right there and then. That's been my experience in communicating with kids.
Keith Baker, Reverend Keith Baker from St. Paul's Anglican Church, is our very special guest today on this Easter Good Friday. It's between 2 and 4 in the afternoon, rapidly approaching 3 o'clock, of course, when the death actually occurred, which we'll get to in just a moment. Keith, you've actually – he's trying to take over. He's choosing music as well. Isn't there a particular piece that you asked that could we play?
I think that's We'll Never Walk Alone. It's actually a good piece to remember. Part of what Easter means for us is that the spirit of Jesus, who died on the cross and rose again and then ascended into heaven, what happens after Easter is that God pours out that spirit, the spirit of Jesus, into our lives so that God is with us. You know, when Jesus was born, he said he shall be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. And the fulfillment of that is the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of God in those who trust and believe in Jesus that connects us to his life. And that means right now we never walk alone.
Another day is gone. I'm still all alone. How could this be? You're not here with me. You never said. Every day I see.
Yes, of course, that's Michael Jackson, and You Are Not Alone. I wanted to play that just ahead of playing You'll Never Walk Alone. Pretty much true for Easter and Christmas and the whole Christian's life. We aren't alone, are we?
Absolutely. That's one of the great benefits of Easter is that because Christ provides a way for us to be forgiven, God can give us his Spirit. And so each day when we walk now, we aren't walking alone. God is with us. He's helping us to understand our relationship with him, and he's changing us from the inside out.
And you will never walk alone. You see, I didn't want you taking over the music. I wanted to control the music, but here's your song.
When you walk through a storm, hold your head up high and don't be afraid of the dark. At the end of is a golden sky and the sweet silver song of love. Walk on through the
that's a fabulous piece of music. That's John Farnham's version of You'll Never Walk Alone. It is Good Friday afternoon. Gareth McRae on Alive 90.5 FM with my very special guest and good friend, Keith Baker from St. Paul's Anglican Church. Maybe a difficult question, Keith, if you wouldn't mind. How could a God of love allow suffering? It could be argued that the two are mutually exclusive. To what extent does Easter address that problem?
Yeah, so Easter is a big part of us thinking through the answer to that. The assumption is if God is all-powerful and God is a God of love, then why does suffering exist? And it is the big question that faces any of the worldviews, the major worldviews. And what Easter shows us is, first of all, that And I think this is the only worldview that is able to say this, is that whilst we don't have all the answers to why God could allow suffering, God himself entered into our world and experienced suffering, in fact, experienced horrendous suffering in order to bring about good. And so what that shows us, and of course this is not an abstract question really, lots of people feel this question very personally, very painfully, and if you know people aren't feeling it now, they will in the future. That's just the way that our world is. What Easter shows us is that God cares enough for us that he would enter into our situation and experience what we're going through and demonstrate his love for us in that, and yet defeat death and open the way for a world where there is no suffering. Of course, the Bible ends with those great promises of heaven where there'll be no more tears and no more suffering and no more pain. Mm. And Jesus opens the way to that reality, to that future for everyone. He walks with us now in our pain and opens up that wonderful reality in the future.
You've had two services this morning, Good Friday morning, and the church was packed as in Christmas. All churches across Australia are packed on Christmas Day and they're packed on Good Friday and Easter Sunday. When those people who don't normally come to church go back to their houses, how do you tell them the importance of church? Why is it important to become, if you've decided to accept Christ, if you've decided to become a Christian, why is it important to go to church, a church?
Yeah, well, it's important because when Jesus came, he didn't come just to save individuals. He came to save a group of people. And the Bible's language for people who are saved is very communal. So the church itself is a word that means gathering. And then we talk about church as a body, so it's individual parts but all connected together. And very common language that's used of believers is brothers and sisters. That is, they're all part of one family. And so it's important to get hooked into a church because God wants to use other people to bless you and to help shape and mold you. And God wants to use you and the gifts that he's given you to help shape and mold other people as well. Now, you know, church is not a place that's full of people who are perfect. It's a hospital for sinners, right? So some people have unfortunate experiences at church, and that's really sad. But the people there, they shouldn't be claiming to be perfect. And I can testify they're not perfect, and I'm one of their imperfect leaders, right? So we experience the word of God together. We experience singing and that sort of, and we experience the love and the patience of each other as we sort of bump into each other and try and work it all out.
Mm.
So it is important because it's like, someone once explained it to me like this. It's like if you take an ember out of the fire, an ember's place where it's really going to kind of do its thing is in the middle of the fire with the other embers. If you take an ember out, it kind of still is an ember, but it won't be, it'll fade away and it won't be all that it's meant to be. Put it in the fire and kind of there it is.
All right, well, let's take your analogy of the ember.
Yep.
In your church, you're going to have some child Christians.
Yes.
First timers.
Yep.
And you're going to have some grandfather or grandmother Christians.
Sure.
Long time.
Yeah.
How does the grandfather, grandmother Christian maintain the enthusiasm and love that the baby Christian has? How does that happen?
Yeah, I think one of the keys to that is understanding and doing service of others. And what happens is, see, God's truth is, it's not just an abstract truth. It's a truth that we kind of embody. So God's truth of what Jesus has done for us and his spirit within us is a truth that we live out. And so if you are humbled and you serve others, what you experience is kind of a freshness of God's grace in the experience of community all the time with the different people that you interact with. And so look, the reality is God's word is a living word. So you've read something before, and you may have read it five times before, but each time, and I find this sort of reading through the Bible each year, like we try and do at St. Paul's and the staff does, different things jump out at you because the Spirit is saying, hey, this time last year you weren't ready to hear this from the Word, but now you are. Look at this. Have a look at this. And so there is a freshness about God's Word, and there's the continual opportunity for freshness of expression of Christian life when you gather together.
I actually want to talk about reading the Bible. How do you read the Bible? Yeah. But I want our friends who are listening to you and I right now to have a careful listen to the words of this song and see if you can find some relevance to the lyrics and the message of Easter. Have a listen.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us. Above us only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. Imagine there's no countries. It isn't hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for, and no religion too. Imagine all the people living life in peace. But I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us, and the world will live as one. Imagine no possessions.
Beautiful voice of Eva Cassidy and the lyrics from John Lennon and the song Imagined. Alive FM, 90.5. Gareth and Keith with you this afternoon on this Good Friday. Words there. Is there any... Could you sort of see some synergy with the Easter message?
Well, you're right. It's a beautiful rendition of that song. And you understand John Lennon's cries. You sort of look around and you see people not getting on. And wouldn't it be great if we could all just kind of get along? And I think there's a modern version of that by someone who's just released a song, like, Can't We All Just Get Along? What the cross shows us, what Easter shows us, is that on our own, it's not going to work, because the problem is with a sinful heart, a heart that's turned away from God, ultimately everybody wants to play God for themselves. So we say, imagine, you know, no religion, imagine no God. But without, you know, an institutional God or a God out there that anybody tells you about, we all become gods to ourselves. I know what's best. I want to do that. The problem is, if I'm playing God and you over there, you're playing God, and someone else is playing God, and we've all got different versions of what the truth should be, we're all going to run into each other. We're all going to collide. And so, you know, it's true that people have done things in the past in the name of Christ that have been, you know, things that we deeply regret, deeply, deeply regret. The answer is not that they should abandon being Christian, is that they should be more Christian. They should be deeper, harder, more committed to be like Christ, whose way of showing power, showing victory, was to give up his life. It wasn't to go with the sword. In fact, he said, you know, my kingdom's not of this world, my kingdom's of another place. So we can... If the go harder as a Christian is what I'm saying. Don't go less hard. Don't abandon it. So go harder and be more like Christ, and those sorts of things won't happen. Mm.